Okay, sorry for the late start. We're waiting for some board members that should be here and will be here, but we're going to go ahead and start without them right now. This commences the Library Joint Powers Board meeting of January 14th. Can we have a roll call, please?
Citizen Gray?
Here.
Citizen English?
Here.
Councilmember Matthews?
Here.
Citizen Fortinger?
Here.
Councilmember Reed? Councilmember Terrazas? Councilmember Story, alternate for Councilmember Termini? Supervisor Leopold, alternate
here.
For County.
Okay, we have an agenda in front of us. We have the record note that Council Members Tarazo, Reed, and Story have joined us.
It was delicious. Sorry we kept you waiting. Patronizing those Santa Cruz restaurants. Just trying to help out yourself.
We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, we have an agenda in front of us. We have a motion to accept.
I'm making a motion to accept the agenda.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Passes? Okay. Now we have oral communications, which is when members of the public may address the board on items that are not on the agenda tonight. Is there anybody who would like to say anything? Janice at Driscoll.
Hi, I'm Janice at Driscoll. I'm the Division Manager of Programs and Partnership. And I just want to call your attention to some things that we put at your places. One of them is something that is happening right now, just this week. Share the Warmth. We're having a coat drive in our library branches. As you may know, we have two AmeriCorps volunteers, and all of the AmeriCorps volunteers do a day of service on Martin Luther King Day. And what they're doing this year is having a coat drive. We are collecting coats, blankets, scarves, gloves, socks, and toiletries at the Scotts Valley, Live Oak, and downtown branches. This is a flyer that's in all branches and it's at your place, and I just wanted to let you know that we're collecting all week, and then for the day of service on the 20th, all of the AmeriCorps volunteers will get together and sort them and get them to the right place. So just so you know, and you can spread the word and you can drink to give. It is really cold out.
Thank you, Janice.
The other thing I wanted to talk to you about is Big Read is coming. And this is our poster. The Big Read starts February 27th. This is what it looks like. We have 28 events in 1 month, so that's pretty exciting. At each of your places, I've put a dummy of the calendar brochure. It is at the printers. That's why I don't have an official one, because I don't have the official ones back from the printers yet. But this will give you an idea of all the activities that are going on for the Big Read, the Breaks the Draft, and for members of the public. As soon as they come back from the printer, they will be available for everyone. We encourage everyone to check it out. In the meantime, if you go to santacruzreads.org, you can see this calendar online and see many of the events that are happening. I'll call your attention to one that is happening on March 2nd. We're having a musical event at Kumbwa, music of the era of the Grapes of Wrath. It's going to be fabulous. I have a copy of that. Also at your places, there's copies of both of these flyers on the share for anyone in the public who wants to see. The tickets went on sale today at noon. In the first 15 minutes, we sold 25 tickets, so we're pretty excited about that. This is the only fundraising event for all of
Sure. Quick question. Last year for the Big Read, when it was Pro, I think there were some funds that were available for Pro books to be shared with schools throughout the county. Is that the money that's included in the Big Read this year?
No, there wasn't. We had a limited, a far fewer material last time, but if you talk to me, maybe I can see something.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who has an item to address?
I spoke last time at the board meeting, and a number of other people did, and I wanted to thank Teresa and the board for making the agenda packet available for those of us who just walked in. I was able to look at it online, but it's good to have it here for those who haven't had that opportunity. I also wanted to, you know, second what the previous speaker said, is that it's, as you can tell, freezing outside, and in Santa Cruz, there's no legal place for 90% of the homeless population to sleep. And I talked to the librarians downstairs about this issue of sleeping that came up last time, and I think the board acted wisely in leaving it to the discretion of the current library staff. Provided people are not blocking aisles or creating a disturbance, the actual act of sleeping itself shouldn't be regarded as a basis for suspension or eviction. And I really want to thank the board for that decision, and the library staff for dealing with situations that are difficult that come up. And that includes should I call you the head librarian? I'm not sure what your position is. Thank you. That's about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Before we move on, I actually have something for Councilmember Story, who is actually no longer officially part of the board. You're here as an alternate tonight. And last month when we had sort of a farewell for several of us who were leaving the board, we didn't include you for some reason. We didn't know.
You didn't know, and yes, it's just a recent little development. Well, thank you
so
much.
You have a card, and
I appreciate it.
Remind me, it's you get to put a book plate in the book of your choosing.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for all of your
honor, and I just I really have enjoyed my last 5 years being on the library board. I'm gonna, you know, miss the opportunity to work with everyone here. But thank you for the opportunity to be your chair in the last year. And as the alternate, I certainly hope to be able to come in and when I'm needed to help participate. So thank you, everyone.
I came for you last time.
Okay. Next on the agenda, we have a presentation from Heather Norquist about new catalog features.
I'm one of the selectors, and one of my subject areas is to purchase and select the databases. One of the newest databases that I selected is the Novelist Select. And it improves the way Evergreen works for staff and the public, so I wanted to show you how it works. Is that better?
Should we turn off the light? Can everybody see? Should we turn off the light up at the front? Everybody okay with that? For a few minutes?
suggest the other books, what algorithm or who programs that algorithm to suggest those books? Obviously, we can't do it for all books.
Oh,
I'm just
kidding. Is the novelist company?
Second question I had is this only for books, or if we had in our CD collection the Bruce Springsteen record Born to Run, would that come up as well?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's maybe covered by numbers. Any other questions?
Yeah, I have one.
Okay.
It shows the about 6,600 reader comments.
Uh-huh.
Is that, is this aggregated from other libraries and how the comments are those all specific to our system?
The library closes, I think it's worldwide.
Worldwide.
Yeah, it shows where they're from. Boulder.
Okay.
They pulled them from Goodreads, which is a online site.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I forgot to say welcome to Councilmember Matthews, who was actually, it's a welcome back. So, welcome. She was on the board for a long time before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, next on the agenda is member reports. Are there any reports from any members? Okay. Next we have the consent agenda. Two items on that. Approval of the minutes and food for fines during National Library Week.
Approval.
Second.
I had a correction in the minutes. Mm-hmm. And let's see, on page 7, actually, I voted against. I was the only one voting. I was the dissenting vote on that. It says unanimous.
That's right.
So it's 8 for me dissenting.
You didn't have to take that very complicated.
Accept the amendment.
I will the second as well.
Okay. Can we have discussion on the food for fines?
We can pull it off the consent agenda. And okay, we'll pull that one off and move it to in other business. We'll make it item C. So we have a motion to accept the consent agenda of the minutes of December 3rd.
As amended.
As amended. all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
All abstain.
Abstain. Thank you. Right. Motion passes. And then next we have a report from the Friends of the library.
My name is Sharon Maxwell, and I'm on the Friends Board. It's a great group. We really work hard to support the library, and I've given you a little paper that is outlined exactly what I'm saying, and I'm not going to read it because I know you can read, but I'll just highlight a few of the things that we've done. As far as the library facilities, we purchased new library hour signs, so gone away are the hour signs that were attached to Scotch tape, and they've gotten a little ratty over time. A variety of programs. We have community poetry circles, a computer club with David Shaw, and if you've ever had an opportunity to be here on a third Thursday in this room at 12:10, there is an incredible mention of Mozart events, a concert. And the only thing I think is missing from the concert is that we need speakers that take it outside because it's always after this. Our January and February issue of Check It Out is already being published and reviews the activities of the Friends and donations that have been made. We have one committee that has worked to update our membership levels and benefits to reflect the kind of efforts we want to have to support library hours and support the library better in 2015. And then at the very bottom, you'll see that our plans this year are to raise money for the IT strategic plan. On the 20th, we're going to be hosting a table at the Chocolate Festival, which is sponsored by the UC Women's Club and raises money for their scholarships. And we've, the Friends have been trying to outreach to the university, the museum, and so that our presence is there and we can do things jointly. And then, of course, the big read, and I hope you'll all have an opportunity to participate in something because there's so many activities going on. And then on the 24th, we're going to host the chamber, Santa Cruz Chamber meeting soon. And last thing we want to say is that if you're not a member of the Friends already, we encourage you to join. There are great benefits. And one of the greatest is the best little bookstore is downstairs, and I can't go by without finding something. And it's such a bargain. And so take advantage. And then when you finish your read, collect up that and other reads and donate them back, and we will recycle them once. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
Just make a comment. I handed out a letter that Sharon provided to each of us and encourage everybody to sign up. Also, she didn't mention this, but when you sign up, there's an attached form. You're automatically enrolled in to get a library card as well. So you can get you know, a library card and a membership all at once.
Okay, now we have staff reports.
Okay, on the monthly report, we have a special treat. I referred to the YouTube video on the music, but I thought maybe it's really bad. I don't think this is the one of Sam playing.
No. I hope not.
It's not really bad. This
is the one before that.
This is the one before that, so.
Sam, you can go out with a bang. Come on.
You can just get the piano out.
The tune that I was assigned was "A Song Is Like a Pretty Girl." It's an old Ziegfeld Follies tune, and it was written by Irving Berlin. So it's very dated, and if you read the lyrics, fortunately, it's not being sung. It's so.
You'd have to be out of copyright. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, the songs of that period. Sometimes we wouldn't consider to be politically correct today, but they were very much.
I know, but musically it's actually pretty nice, and so I hope I'm able to do it justice.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing.
Thank you.
And those are, it's all music from the sheet music collection, the library sheet music collection. Statistical report, there's a no trusting the circulation statistics that are coming out of the new computer system, and Jessie hasn't had a time chance, because she's working on some other really important projects, to try to figure out exactly what data we're getting. So rather than continue to give you possibly wrong data, we're just going to hold off, and when we get it figured out, we'll catch up and get the data. Over time, visitors and circulation pretty much track together, so looking at the visitor information kind of gives you an idea of trends. So we'll get it together here in the next few months. Financial snapshot. Mark, do you want
to? Just quick preview. We're in an awkward time period where the board has seen this before the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee meets after the board this month. But November finished from a cash standpoint, very positive, $345,000 to the good. November. Again, just from a timing standpoint, we just closed December, so we don't have December yet as a snapshot, but we'll have that for the Finance Committee later this month. Book purchases were front-loaded early in this year. The book line item is ahead of budget. I think that's a good thing. You want to be using those proceeds as long as at the end of the year you're not overexpending your budget. But so far, book purchases are a little bit ahead of budget, projected budget. Sales tax is another trend to watch. It's proving to be very strong right now. We're certainly ahead of budget by about 3%. We were optimistic, conservative optimistic, depending on the, I think we were, I was going to say conservative conservatively optimistic, but we were hopeful sales tax would be tracking a little bit better than what we budgeted so far. That seems to be a trend that's replicating itself. It wasn't a 1 month pattern, so our revenue on sales tax is really strong. Again, overall, November finished strong. All of your ratios, which are indicators of your cash status, your ability to pay down your debt, the measure of your debt compared to operations, they're all incredibly strong. I mean, very strong cash position, very strong debt to cash, debt to operation ratios, and the board had set a target for fiscal year 16-17, which is a few years away of getting to 10% cash reserves, and you're at 23% now, so you're way ahead of your targets right now from a cash perspective. So financially, you're doing very well. I think our next set of data you'll see is the Finance Committee will see in this month, the December report, and then in February we'll be sitting in the Finance Committee and then to the board subsequently to make your review, which is how the year is finished and where we think it's going for the rest of the year. So there will be lots of data coming in the next couple of months.
Thanks, Mark. The 11th year-end fiscal report. We don't have the official audit yet, but we decided we needed to. The numbers have pretty much stopped moving, I guess.
Yeah.
Or they have stopped moving.
Yeah.
So basically, we did end the year very well because basically due to sales tax being higher than anticipated last year and the savings that we achieved from the staffing restructuring. So. Anybody have any questions?
We finished the year right, a little over $800,000 to the good. You had $240,000 that carries over to this year, so your net is almost $600,000, a net true positive gain for last year from a cash perspective. So this board did well in shaving operations and then responding accordingly when they look like we've achieved that fiscal stability and looking to increase in operating hours. So I think the board is doing its due diligence. As you mentioned, we'll be presenting the audited hard copy to make for me.
It's great news. Thank you.
The IT strategic and facilities master plans are on track to go live in April. When this was written, we hadn't had certain meetings yet on the IT strategic plan. The consultant's going to be here this Thursday and Friday, and I know some of you are scheduled to meet with him, some of you at 8 in the morning and some at 4:30, depending on your schedules. If there's anybody who does want to meet with the IT strategic plan consultant who isn't already scheduled, let me know and I'll let you know what times and where. And he's also going to be, we put together a community focus group of some leaders, tech leaders, some community leaders for Thursday night that we'll be meeting with staff, both in the IT division and general staff, in general just to has, we did a staff survey, an online staff survey. The city did one for the city's IT strategic plan. I point to Mark, this is my city rep here. And we did a parallel one for library staff, and those results are being analyzed. And we are currently, this week and next week, doing a public survey. It's not going to be statistically valid. We don't have the wherewithal and the funds to do that. But we have a certain number of surveys to be distributed in every branch, a certain number per day for 2 weeks, to ask the public about their use of our computers. And they don't have to have used a computer to take the surveys. The staff's handing it out, somewhat randomly, I guess. Jason and Catherine may be able to answer. They're distributing them at their branches.
Very good.
So, I mean, the idea being we don't want to just do everybody right at 11 o'clock. We want to spread people out during the day. So that'll just give us, it'll just help inform the person that, like I said, won't be statistically valid. It's anticipated the plan will be ready sometime by the end of February, early March, and then I'll be talking to individuals about that, and we'll bring it to the board then probably in April. We also were waiting to hear about the city's timetable for their IT strategic plan, because we are kind of doing this in tandem. So things could change when we hear about their timetable, which I hopefully will hear about on Wednesday. Facilities master plan. The architect's coming January 23rd to meet with the various jurisdictions. Met with the City of Santa Cruz, the county, and Capitola the last time they were here. And now to close the loop, they're going to talk to those jurisdictions then. So we've got meetings set up all that all day. They are on track for three levels of data. One is basic, you know, what do we need to do for facilities to keep the roofs over the heads and the plumbing intact? What do we need to do to just make the service model work better, just to kind of modernize the buildings a little bit? And what are the really serious, egregious, major problems that facilities that need to have some real big work done on them? So I'm going to be gone the first 2 weeks of February, and David Schnee is going to be gone the last 2 weeks of February. We might meet somewhere, and I'm in Guatemala, he's in Belize, so I don't know if we'll see each other or not, but I don't think so. I don't think we cross. So hopefully when I get back in February, I'll have some information that I can then talk to board members about. So because of the timing issue, we postponed the board study session until March 18th, so that we decided let's just take a little extra time rather than try to rush this when the schedule isn't working very well. So there'll be a special study session with the board on March 18th, and we have the calendar. I've indicated that because I know it's an extra meeting. And if all goes well, could be on track to approve that plan also in April. That doesn't mean we've approved how we're going to fund the plan and move forward, but just accept the recommendations from the consultant. So that's what's going on with those two plans.
Given the IT plan, do you have a sense of how and when we're going to be able to move forward to hire an IT director?
I'm hoping that I can have somebody. My guess is that the recommendation is going to require us to write a new job description, so that'll take a little extra time. Got to get approved by this body and by City Council, so that's going to take some time. So I am hoping that we can have somebody on board by June, if all goes smoothly and well. When I see the preliminary recommendations, I may talk to HR about can we get started on writing this up and starting the process.
Okay, is that it?
That's it.
All right. Moving on to other business. We are interviewing for a new citizen member for, I don't know what district it is, I think it's two.
I didn't bring the map.
Yeah. For the Santa Cruz. In a little bit more
Davenport
area, Davenport, as we decided our last meeting. So,
can I see a show of hands of people here who have submitted applications?
Okay.
Two people. You'll each have 5 minutes to sort of address the board and introduce yourselves. And I don't know whose was in the packet first. I think
Martha's is first.
Is Martha? So Martha, would you like to go first? And then we'll have
I'm happy to do so.
Okay.
Sure. First of all, I want to thank the board for this opportunity to express expand a little bit on the materials that you already have in the packet. It's a real pleasure to be here this evening. When Teresa accepted my application and responded and told me that I would be coming tonight, she said that there were two questions that I should address. One was, why do I want to do this? And secondly, why should you appoint me? So first of all, in the why do I want to do this, this is going to sound a little trite, but you know, I'm really passionate about public libraries. I'm like a library evangelist. And I worked for many years, you will have seen in the packet, I worked for more than 30 years in libraries, but I never worked in public libraries. I'm an avid user of public libraries, and I always said, well, when I retire, this is going to be the time to give back to public libraries. And I can't think of a better way to do it than to serve on the board. I've worried over the years about libraries getting marginalized with budget restraints and new technologies. People start thinking we don't need libraries anymore. And I don't want to be in a, not that this is happening here, but I want to make sure that what I can do whatever I can to make sure that that doesn't happen. It means, I always feel like a great community has a great public library, or maybe it's great libraries make great communities. But one way or another, I think they go hand in hand. Then secondly, when it comes to why you should appoint me, well, I mean, I already said I have more than 30 years of experience in libraries, and mostly in library management. And I think those skills and that knowledge is something that I can bring to the board. I understand library budgets and staffing models. I've worked in libraries of similar size and managed similar size budgets and staff resources. I've been a volunteer in this library. I have only lived in Santa Cruz coming on 3 years now, but almost from the day I got here, I came to volunteer, and I was helping people with the self-checkout. I volunteered at the Garfield Park Library. I worked on the digitization project with the Fay Ellis Local History Project, which is a lot of fun to do. And it actually, as a library volunteer, my husband, I've been able to contribute $2,000 to the Friends of the Library through an employee grant program that his company provides for employees and their families. So that's been a nice little extra benefit. When it comes to libraries, I think I get it. I get it when it comes to what problems are, the challenges that libraries face with resources and staff development and the issues related to technology and facilities. And more broadly, though, I mean, I think in a public library community, I understand what it means to be important in the community for education and learning, for information literacy and accessibility to technology. So in the end, it really comes back to, I want to be more than a library patron. I want to be an advocate for this library and this community. I want it to be the best library it can be, not only for me, I'm selfish in that, for me as a patron, but also for all the people who use this library and for the staff who work here. So I thank you again for this opportunity to share these ideas briefly with you, and look forward to maybe joining you if you decide to appoint me. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Okay, and next we have Anna Anastas. How do you say that?
Jim?
Oh, that's easier.
I'm sorry, Beth. I don't hear too good, so.
Okay.
The reason I decided to run for this, I feel like, after you, I feel like I started to crawl out of the woodwork. But I went into Barnes & Noble one day, and I was in there, and I was like this. I was like, wow, this is how I used to feel like in the library when I'd walk in. I don't feel that way anymore when I walk in the library. Maybe that's because I go to too many bookstores. But it seems to me like the library is not really turning on the faucet to bring people in here. And that whole feeling of pizzazz, it's just not there. Sorry about that. my interest, if I were to be on the board here, would be funding. And I'd like to devote my energies to funding because that's what the libraries need. And you can't talk without books. That's just a fact of life. I'm interested in the interlibrary loan, which Teresa said is coming back. Is that true?
I hope.
Okay. I mean, library is supposed to be for information. And if you're going to be providing information, that information has to come out in forms that affect young people, which means technology improvements. And I hope that that's an area that we will put my money into. I've been in Indian Town for 20-something years, and the library, to me, politically, is a bastion of progressivism, and it's for people on both sides of the track, so even important people on this side of the track, and that's all the guys over here. I'm also interested in staff, that the staff gets a good deal. And that all libraries are kept open, every branch. I mean, that's just that I'm sort of like the little guy who's interested in the library. Don't mind us. And anybody has any questions, I'll take any questions you have to ask. Otherwise?
All right, thank you. Were there any questions for either of the candidates?
John? Thank you. Wondering if you could, both could address the issue of, well, I have two questions. One is talk about where you see the value of the 10-branch system that we have. We've had a lot of discussion over the years about the 10-branch system, and I wanted you to address how you see the system and the value of the 10-branch system. And two is, since nearly 50% of the county residents live in the unincorporated area, how can you make sure that the needs of the folks throughout the unincorporated areas get represented in the library system?
Well, in answer to your second question, it's my understanding that the citizen members also, I mean, the geographic area that this particular vacancy, it includes parts of the unincorporated area. So it seems to me that that's something that I, as a potential board member, have to take seriously, and the branches that are in those areas. But I also think that every board member has to have an interest in the whole system, more than just what's happening in, you know, my particular geographic area. So I think it's a combination of both of those. And as for the 10-branch system, when I arrived in Santa Cruz, that was just, that whole controversy was playing out even while I was here. And I live on the west side. I know that one of the branches was there. I think this is one of those things that you really have to listen to the community and what the community is asking for, partly because we want the library to be what people want. It's a combination of what we as maybe what professional librarians know a good model is mapped to what the community also wants. There has to be kind of a sort of a hand-in-hand kind of thing. And is there a silver bullet that's going to answer that right this moment tonight? No. But I think it's an evolving question. I don't think there is a right or wrong answer to that right now, but it's a combination of both. The experience of the librarians, the community needs, and what the community can afford, and how all of those things play together. So those, I hope that answers, or at least begins to answer. There's no real answer right now.
John, are you looking for an answer from me?
Yeah, I'd like you to address it.
You have to repeat the question.
I want you to talk about the value of the 10-branch system.
Yeah.
And I also want you to say how you see addressing the needs of the residents of the unincorporated area.
I'm for the, all the 10 branches being open. And as we see every time somebody tries to close a library in one particular area, everybody's up in arms, and it should be. If I have my kids over here, it doesn't do much good for me if, when this is closed. As far as the more specific questions about that, John, I don't really have an answer for your question unless you ask me something more direct.
About the unincorporated residents in the unincorporated area?
What about that?
Well, we have a number of city representatives on that from the incorporated cities, and since a large portion of the county lives in the unincorporated area, I'm trying to figure out, from a board member's perspective, how you represent all those folks.
I'm in the unincorporated area. I'm on the east side. It seems to me that there is enough libraries there. If there were places where there should be more, I'm not aware of it. And beyond what I've said, I don't know how to address that question.
Thanks.
Were there any other questions from the board for either of the applicants? Okay, just to let you know the process, we'd like you to come to the next meeting, and at the February meeting, which is February 13th, the board will be appointing a new citizen member. So thank you for your interest. See you all. Okay. And you're certainly welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting. Okay, next on the agenda is election of a temporary chair for the February meeting. Jim?
I'll nominate David Terrazas. He was all set to run our Library Finance Authority meeting today, but we didn't have a quorum, so I'm sure he's all keyed up and ready to go, so we'll see if he can do the next meeting.
Is there a second?
A second.
Somebody.
Jim and
Nancy. All right. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, the motion passes. You will get next
time. All right.
The next item on the agenda is the food for fines memo that we pulled out from the consent agenda. Dick, did you have questions about that?
Yeah. I'm conflicted about the idea of one not-for-profit essentially subsidizing another not-for-profit. The library is going to be giving up fines. We're going to be giving up the time that it takes to process those non-fines, whether we get fines in dollars or donate food, so there's a cost to the library and manpower either way. And I'm just wondering, is it appropriate for this nonprofit to be effectively giving money to another nonprofit? That's why I wanted to just have a discussion about it.
John?
I think it's a reasonable question to ask, although I don't look at it as just a one nonprofit helping another. I look at it as a community institution helping out the greater community. Because while the Second Harvest Food Bank might be the recipient of this food, they're really helping out all of our patrons, which are users of the library and everyone else. So we are the conduit, and we are giving up something in order to help out the larger community, but I don't see us one helping the other. I see us, the library, helping out the larger community.
Yeah, I really like the program. Especially because there are people who accumulate fines that are significant, especially with children, and people don't bring their kids to the library to check out books once they reach a certain threshold, and this is a way out that's probably more inexpensive than paying the fine. So in that sense, it's an opportunity to get some patrons back. That, you know, I especially think of the kids who accumulate these fines because I've had children who've accumulated huge fines. I know it's possible. And they lose books. But so I think it's a great program. It's a good community.
I can just add that it's very common for libraries around the country to do this.
It's almost like the post office, the letter carriers, who drive. I mean, that's my feeling. The Second Harvest is really a completely different category than probably what you mentioned, because it serves such a even the forgiveness of fines or the discounts, that's so, it's common in the community. I think it just puts the library as a good community partner. And the fact is, it's in our budget, it's a trivial amount to be a good community partner. So.
55,000 people take advantage of food bank services, and 1 in 5 people in Santa Cruz County are on some form of public assistance. So by helping out those who are less fortunate, we are really helping our community be strong. So.
Jim?
I agree with what all three have said, but I really want to say hats off to Dick. We've got to be looking at absolutely mm-hmm. everything, and good for you to bring this up and have a discussion on it. And even though we've got good reports from Mark that the cuts that were made are paying dividends and the pound is steadily improving, is making that picture better. We are going to be in a constrained time for a very long time, especially once we get that facilities master plan report back. So you're doing exactly the right thing. You look everywhere you can. Good job, and I hope you keep that up.
Thanks, Jim.
So is a motion appropriate?
Yes, so I was just going to ask if there was a motion.
Yes, so I'll move that we approve this recommendation.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. next, we have written communications. I just wanted to point out a couple of things. Page 59 of your packet. A little bit of information on CALIFA. This came out of the CALIFA annual report. CALIFA is a consortium of California libraries. We pay to be a member, and we get a lot back from them. That's how we get a lot of our discounts on databases and things like that. And here's what I gave you was the one page that has three of their major programs, mostly because the two on the right are ones that we've been direct participants in. The Local History Digital Resource Project, that's the one you learned about last month when Linda Gall showed you those photographs, that's this project right here. And the Open Source Open Libraries, if you look down, there's some fulfillment pilots moving ahead. The reference was made to Interlibrary Loan. We are one of the pilots in this fulfillment program. We're doing it just between Interlibrary Loan between libraries. We're not opening it to patrons right now. We're testing a new software that's platform agnostic, which means it'll work on any library computer system. And if that's successful, I hope to be able to bring that back to the board as a way for us to move forward and restore the interlibrary loan. So that's through CALIFA that we're part of that. And the third piece, the one on the left, is their ebook platform. And I'm trying to give you a lot of material on ebooks because it's this big controversy in the library world because the six big publishers don't want to play in the sandbox with us. So they're throwing sand in our eyes, actually. So CALIFA is working with the state of Kansas to develop its own platform for ebooks. They go to the publishers directly, get the books, load them on a content server, and then we would buy them from CALIFA or access them through CALIFA. So it's kind of a way to cut out the middleman. And so that's, so I just wanted to let you know how important CALIFA was to us and how valuable it is to California libraries. Otherwise, you're wondering, why did you put that in there? On page 62, as I just want to bring to your attention something else that is important for our library system to keep track of, and I've talked to the Friends, their advocacy group. Their Senator Volk has proposed a 55% voter approval for local library measures, and this would be for bond measures and other local library taxes. Right now, the level is at 66%, I believe it is. This would take it down to 55, which is the same as the schools, and this could be important for us as we move forward, as we look to how to fund the facilities master plan. I don't have the timing on it. But
which was what I was going to ask. At what point it's appropriate for us to go back to our jurisdictions and get everyone to
I will keep you informed. They will be keeping the library world informed. I'm chair of two organizations this year, the Pacific Library Partnership up in May, and I'm also chair this year of the California County Librarians Association. My guess is when this comes to the forefront, I'll probably be going to Sacramento to testify on it. And I will certainly let you know when it's time to bring support for this. My understanding is it may get passed by the legislature, but then we'll have to be approved by a constitutional amendment, so it'll have to go to the voters for approval. So my guess is that won't happen until the fall of 14th. But
does this seem, is the reading that this is a pretty easy sale at the legislative level?
I think it is. There's got a lot of support for it. The only piece that concerns concerns me is that I believe the transportation folks are going for a similar measure.
Right.
And
yeah.
if we get tied up with them, we probably have a lot more sympathy than transportation
right.
does.
Right.
But we'll have to see. But we've got Mark Stone in there, so hopefully. So anyway, I gave you some information on that. I do apologize for how many kind of national stories they were. This is catch up because I didn't get to it in November for the December meeting. So you got a whole lot. You won't get much next month. And then last but not least, and then before Mark can get a throw, the reserve policy. And I apologize. Pages 93 and 94, just disregard them. Pretend they're not there. I was really sick the day the board packet went out. I was communicating with them from home and left it for them. And I didn't double check, so it's my mistake. So that was a draft that got doubled up in there. So reserve policy, this is background information only. This the Finance Committee looked at this because the board had asked about it at a previous meeting. And this is just to give you information. I was asked by the board what the board had decided on new reserves. And so this is kind of all the information surrounding the reserve issue. The chart on page 92 is coming out of the compromised service model and showed how much we expected to put in cash reserves, you know, each year, the different kinds of reserves. So that's why this is here. It's really just for background. It's not really for any kind of voter discussion. I don't know if you've got any questions, and Mark can help with it. The whole fund balance policy is a GASB thing that I don't even, every time I understand it, I lose it. So I understand it when it's explained to me, and then it's like, okay. So. I'm sure it'll come up again as we discuss finances, but it was just that request for you there. And last but not least, I put in several flyers that Janice has been so busy that just kind of shows you. The color ones, of course, are much nicer, but just kind of an idea of what we're up to, and pretty darn busy. So. And the rest of it's all the usual stuff, security incidents, website hits.
The Finance Committee meetings and membership, I guess, are two issues that I'm not sure how we deal with. So we're losing one of our stalwarts out of three members. So is that a subject for another meeting?
I think it would be at the next meeting, the board will be appointing a chair, a vice chair, and I would assume that the Finance Subcommittee would come up at that point. Moving on, we have the board meeting calendar. As Teresa noted, the February meeting will be February 13th,
and I do apologize for that. I'm going to be out of the country on a Rotary project, so it wasn't like anything I had control over setting the date. February 4th, I'm leaving January 30th, and I'm back February 9th. So February 13th did not conflict with anybody's city council or county supervisors meeting. For everyone. Of course, we don't know who we're getting from the county, hopefully they don't have other meetings that night. So, I mean, I really do try to avoid being gone from board meeting. I tried. I said, can we, like, start this project after February 4th? And they went, no. So.
But it looks like all the other meetings are at the regular
yes.
beginning of the month.
Yes. The only
rotating Aptos and Scotts Valley. Downtown.
The only other one that's off is September, because September 2nd, besides being my anniversary, that's not mine. It's Labor Day. And I also tried to put down some other special dates that we know of. And there will be some closed sessions coming up. In like February, there will be a closed session to talk about labor negotiations. All the contracts are opening this spring. You know, Cynthia and David are well aware. So Lisa will be coming to talk to the board as we enter those negotiations.
So will that just be an earlier start time?
Yes. We'll usually start a half hour earlier. So February will start at 6. I guess the Library Financing Authority is going to start at 5:30. And then there's a special meeting on March 18th.
Is there any comment from the public before we motion on this?
I move to approve. Second.
All right. We have a motion. Is all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
adjournment of the library joint.
I just make one comment. Because I'm gone January 30th to February 9th, I'm going to be preparing the board packet as best I can by January 29th. So I know particular issues, and David as chair, I'll let you know. So if there's anything else significant that comes up, I will get word to you about who to contact if for something on the agenda, but it may be kind of hard to get reports and other things on the agenda. If they're on the agenda, that's fine. I can distribute them at the meeting, but it's going to be kind of a short one.
Jeff.
Are we done with 12?
Yeah, sure.
We are adjourned.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I wanted to say that it is very, very sad that this is going to be your last meeting. And we have given phenomenal service, and I just hope you'll follow Sam's example and come back early and often. And,
I'm sure you'll be fine.
We have a piano we'd like to hear.